So today we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, and it's Romans chapter 15 is where we're going to be. Romans chapter 15. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that you do find when you're studying Scripture, as I'm sure you have found, is that from time to time, and maybe it's not just from time to time, maybe it's often, maybe it's more often than what we want to admit, sometimes Scripture, we can read Scripture and we can say, well, that's just unrealistic, right? That's just, okay, but Jesus didn't really mean for me to do that, right? I mean, yeah, he said that, but he didn't really mean that, right? Like the forgiveness issue, okay? He didn't really mean 70 times 7, right? Right? Does anybody here know anybody that's on their 489th? One more, buddy, and that's it, right? Did he really mean that? I mean, did he really mean love your neighbor as yourself? Was he talking about everybody, or was it just certain ones? There's some I know that I don't know that that's, Jesus wouldn't ask us to love them, right? And if he would, then he doesn't understand them, and he doesn't understand what my situation is and what I'm facing. Because if Jesus understood what I was facing, then he wouldn't be asking me to love somebody like. And that's kind of how we see Scripture from time to time. It's like, yeah, well, you know, we're not all of us can do that. Because if you want to go in a nutshell here, just to get the theme of this chapter, there's just one thing that Paul, I would say that Paul is saying. And this is the Chad translation. I can't prove this exactly. This is just my interpretation of what he's saying here. And it's two words. It's very simple. It's get along. That's what he's saying. Right? Has anybody ever had to tell you to get along? Right? I know that as a father, I can't tell you how many times, especially as of late, if I know that they're going to be doing something together, and let's say Miranda and I are going out or something and they are staying, which they have started to do because of their age, I can't tell you how many times I say, no fighting. No arguing, right? Because as sure as we take one step out the door, something happens. Somebody did something. It was somebody else's fault. It was this, it was that, all that. No. And so what I always want to say to them, just find a way to get along, right? It happens where we're in situations where we don't get along with people like we would hope. And there are situations that where that becomes difficult. Paul is telling them, get along. Now, what he's saying, we want to make sure we're not taking this out of context and misunderstanding what he's saying or misinterpreting what he means by getting along. Because did you notice what he's talking about throughout all of this? He's saying to have compassion on the weaker person, on the weaker brother. Because the whole idea of circumcision, the whole idea of being a Jew, and the whole idea of Gentiles, that was the whole split that was happening when Jesus came. When Jesus came, you had the Jews over here who were the clean, they were the God's chosen people. Then you had the Gentiles over here, they were not clean, and they were not accepted by God's chosen people. And then Jesus came along and said, you know what? I'm bringing both together. I'm here for all. I died for all. I look at you the same way I look at you. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how you were raised. Doesn't matter what family you were born in. Doesn't matter what your lineage is. Doesn't matter, because with me, Jesus comes along. That's why we have stories like the woman at the well. If you remember the story of the woman at the well, the unclean woman at the well, and Jesus broke every law possible by speaking to her and by actually asking her for a drink. Well, that's against the 103 oral traditions that we have, that you would actually take a drink from a Samaritan because that would make you unclean. And the whole issue was the whole clean and unclean, and that's what Paul's addressing here. And he's trying to tell them, he's saying, stop thinking this way. He's saying, stop thinking about this division thing of clean and unclean. Get along is basically what he's saying. But it's not just in a physical sense. He's saying to get along in a physical sense. So if we back up to the very beginning, see what he says. He says, now we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Now, if we just stop right there, we just take that last phrase. That's pretty much enough, isn't it? And not just please ourselves. How many of us are guilty of pleasing ourselves? And not just guilty of pleasing ourselves, but how many of us are guilty? Have we ever been guilty where you pleased yourself and while somebody else was not being pleased and they were sacrificed because of your... So we all have faced that, right? That's one of the dilemmas because we are born into this world and we think everything is ours. And we think it's us. As one person put it, some of us believe that the sun doesn't rise till we get out of bed. That when we get out of bed, that's when the sun rises, right? Because the world revolves around us, right? It's all me, me, me. Whatever I can do for myself, that's all that matters, right? He's saying the opposite. He says you are to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Verse 2, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Why? Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. And that's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow, but that's exactly true. In fact, you can go through all of the life and teachings of Jesus, and I would challenge you to find one time where he pleased himself. That isn't why he was here. He wasn't here to please himself. So we have this dilemma of Paul saying to get along, and Paul saying the idea that the whole issue of division, the clean and unclean, that's not what you're about. Find a way to get along, and you're supposed to base this on the example of Christ, that you are not living for yourself. And then he goes through talking about how the Gentiles are going to worship, and basically the Gentiles are going to worship with the Jews, and that's the whole idea of Jesus coming, bringing everybody together. So I want to fast forward now to the end of this passage. If we look at the end of this passage, which is verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is like his declaration. This is like a benediction. You would hear this at the close of a service, something like that. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy. So we're going to start there. This is being the week of joy. May the God fill you with all joy. Now, when we talk about the idea of joy, first of all, as many of you understood, and I was told this many years ago, and I got a good understanding of this, and I'm sure you know this as well, there's a huge difference between joy and happiness. That's the first thing. That's a matter of semantics. You can debate how you define each one. But having joy doesn't mean you're happy. I heard it put this way, that it doesn't seem like Jesus was happy when he was nailed to the cross. But he did have joy because he knew the Father's will was being done. So that's the two different things. So joy is one of those things that it's just kind of there, and you have this joy knowing what God is doing, and there's this joy that you have. It doesn't mean that you're always happy. Now, is anybody here always happy? Would anybody like to admit that there are times when you're not happy? Would anybody sitting beside you like to admit there are times you are not happy? Yes, there are times you are not happy, right? But that does not mean that during those unhappy times that you still don't have joy. That's the difference. Because joy is the idea of knowing that God is fulfilling his purpose. And you have this sense of joy, this sense of a spiritual pleasure, if you will, instead of a physical pleasure, that God is accomplishing something. That's the idea of joy. Now, he's telling us that now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Fill. Fill is an interesting word. In the Greek text, it is actually pleroma. Okay? Pleroma, you know what it means when you look it up in the Greek text? It means fill. Yeah. It actually means full. The whole idea. If something is full, and I want you to think about this for a moment. I'm going to challenge your intellect. I'm going to challenge your intelligence because I'm sure you struggle with this one. If something is full, you do realize it is full. Right? I'm challenging your intellect with that one. That's a tough one. So if something is full, that means you can't get anything else into it. It's full. I've experienced that from time to time, especially after those holiday meals, right? After the holiday meals, I am full. And sometimes I even say to myself, oh, I can't even get another bite, but that pumpkin pie's over there, so I might as well just, there's always room for pie, right? Can always squeeze some pie in, it's no big deal. You know, all of that. So the idea of full, right? When I was a kid, the word was stuffed. It was always like, I can't eat anymore. Why? I'm stuffed. Can't get anything else in. So if you had a glass of water, milk, Coke, or something, and let's just say it was full. Now I'm going to challenge some of your memories, and I'm going to date myself with what I'm about ready to say. I want to see if you can finish this for me. See if you remember this. Fill it to the rim with, thank you. Okay, I'm not the only one, right? The commercial, fill it to the rim with brim. Brim was a coffee. Now, I don't know much about it. As you know, I despise, I can't stand coffee. I don't drink coffee. I know some of you are going to walk out on me after saying that. Many of my friends ask me all the time, why? No, you don't drink coffee? Every pastor's meeting I go to, I'm the only one that doesn't get coffee, right? They don't understand what's wrong with me, right? Do they still make brim? Or do they stop that? They don't make it anymore? Fill it to the rim with brim. I just remember watching that as a commercial. Remember that? So what do they mean by that? You fill it full. Now, the problem is if you have somebody with my coordination and clumsiness, if I have something that is filled all the way to the top, it's not a good situation. Right? My older brother used to do his best in that situation to make me laugh. So it would shake out and then it would spill all over my rich aunt's carpet during Christmas, right? Yeah, I was always the one. I was always the kid that ruined the rich aunt's carpet when we were sitting at the kids' table because somehow I spilled something or I knocked something over, right? So that's the point. When you have something in it and it is full, that's why my wife, I don't know if I've ever confessed this to you before, but she actually worked it out where I have a lid on it, just about everything I drink because of that, right? An adult sippy cup. I heard somebody say it. Yes, that's what it is. Sorry, that's what it is. So you have it full all the way, and you can't get anything else into it. Now, I've seen it before where we have accidentally overflowed. Like we have, I don't use them much, but the Keurig, whatever they're called, the cups, K-cups, all that stuff. And I use different things. I don't have coffee. Sometimes I use that for hot water, for tea, or something like that. Do you know how many times my tea has come out tasting like coffee? Because someone forgot to take the cup out. Right? So I have a blend. Right? Do you also know how many times that the setting hasn't been right and somehow you leave it and you come back to it and, oh, I wasn't expecting, I guess I thought this was larger than what it was because it just continued to fill, but this was already full. See, because what happens is if you have something like that and it is completely full, go ahead and try. Here's an experiment for you, okay? Go home today, fill a glass with something, anything, all the way as far as you can get it, and then grab something else and pour it into it. And just see what happens. Right? You're not going to be able to. It's going to end up overflowing everywhere because it is full. Okay? That's what he's saying. You are full of joy. Now may the God of hope fill you, pleroma, with all joy, meaning you can't get anything else in because you're full of joy. So if, in fact, I was to take, let's just say, if I wanted a glass of Coke, I'm going to pour Coke into the glass. I know we're challenging your intellect and your intelligence today, but those are the steps you would follow. If you want a glass of Coke, you would get Coke. You wouldn't get something else, and you would pour it in, right? You wouldn't try to mix it with anything else, like I'm going to date myself again. Everybody remember Milk and Pepsi? Yeah, Laverne and Shirley? Yeah, Laverne always drank Milk and Pepsi. Remember that? Yeah, some of you don't remember. Man, I'm really... Oh, some of you do. Okay, we have some that do. All right, great. Yeah, always Milk and Pepsi. As a kid, I heard that. I always wanted to try it because I saw it on there, but I never have. Anybody ever try that? Well, try it when you go home. That's something else you can do. Try Milk and Pepsi. Just let us know. Let us know how good it actually is, right? So, but the thing is, let's just say if you're going to have half milk and half Pepsi, guess what? Challenging your intellect, it's not going to be full of Pepsi. And it's not going to be full of milk. Now, you can have it three quarters full of Pepsi and a quarter of milk, and it's not going to be full of Pepsi, and it's not going to be full of milk. The only way you can have it full of Pepsi is that there's no milk in it. It has to be nothing but Pepsi. Nothing. Zero. Kaput. Nada. Nothing else. So the only way we can be full of joy, there's nothing else in us. You've had this happen, I'm sure. As a kid especially, I remember this. Especially when it comes to milk, right? You have a glass of milk. Let's just say you had a glass of milk. Okay, another experiment for you today. You're going to go home. You're going to pour yourself a glass of milk. You're going to finish that glass of milk. After the glass of milk's over, maybe a couple hours later or something, you have a craving for some Coke. Oh, I'd like to have some Coke. I don't want to dirty the glass. So I'll use the same glass. What do you do? Rinse it out. Why? Because some of us have been guilty as a kid, especially not realizing you had to rinse it out. Because what happens if you don't rinse it out? Yeah, you have this Pepsi that has this milk taste to it. So you rinse it out. So in other words, if you want pure Pepsi, after you drink milk, you have to completely rinse it out. It has to be completely empty, nothing else in it. That is the only way. The only way you can be full of joy, as he's saying, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. The only way you can be full of joy, you have to be empty. There's not joy mixed with something else. Not joy mixed with what Chad thinks. Not joy mixed with Chad's happiness. Not joy mixed with Chad pleasing himself. Not joy mixed with Chad's selfishness. No. It has to be completely empty. You're the empty vessel, and he's filling you with joy. That's what this is. So he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice the extreme language that Paul uses, which he uses a lot. So first of all, he says, you're full of joy. May the God of hope fill you with joy. In other words, you're empty so he can fill you with joy, so that there's nothing else inside of you but joy. And then he moves on and says, so that you will abound in hope. See what he's saying there? Abound. That's the idea of a surplus, it going beyond. That's what he's talking about. Problem is, too many times, and some of us, it's our personality, I understand that, but some of us, depending on what it is, we just want to do the bare minimum, right? Just tell me what I have to do. I get it done. But then if it's something that we really are into, we can go above and beyond and go overboard and do something amazing. But there's times where it's just tell me what I have to do. And I've seen people that have gone overboard on a lot of different things, and they've really done something amazing, and they've really gone way over. But then when it comes to Christianity, just tell me what I have to do. I just want to make it to heaven. But his language is very clear, full and abounding. You are full of joy because you're empty, and you're full of joy. And what's going to happen as you pray this, as he's praying this over you, that the hope of God will abound in you. There's going to be this overflowing that it's going to be the idea. Somebody put it this way. I talked last week a lot about shopping, okay? And I made it through this week without, I don't think I went to one store this week. Thank God I didn't go to any store. Anybody else, anybody here make it through the week without going to a store? Wow, everybody went to a store this week? Wow. Yeah, see, because what happens is there's a lot of frustration in the air right now. There's a lot of tension and the traffic, and you can't get through, and bumper to bumper. And someone stops right in the middle of the road when they don't even have to stop, and you're trying to get through, and you're wondering, what are they thinking? Were they out sightseeing? I have someplace to go. You know, all those things, all of those kind of things are happening. But I want you to think about this. If you're going to a store this week especially, which I would wait till next week if I were you, but maybe you can't. So if you go to a store this week, and if somebody happens to, I don't know, let's just use the analogy of the cup. Here you are, you're the cup. And someone happens to knock you over. Or maybe not even knock you over. They just brush against you. Maybe they just want to be first in line. You've been waiting longer, and they slip up and brush against you. They just click the top of the cup, and it's just, what's going to come out? Because challenging your intellect again, if I brought that cup in here today and if I had a glass of Pepsi and I spilled it, what would fall out of it? Pepsi. And why? I spilled it, number one. What's the other reason? That's what's in it. Because what's in it is what comes out. So when you are pushed or flicked or tipped over, does joy come out? So, I remind you, the analogy, the example that he used at the very beginning of the chapter was, this is what I'm telling you to do. Get along! Why? Because Jesus himself didn't live for himself. And as followers of Jesus, neither should you. So you know what he did? At the end of this passage in verse 13, he gave us the formula, if you will, on how to get along and how to be at peace. Well, how do we get along? God, fill me with joy. So if you're praying, God, fill me with joy, and I'm praying, God, fill me with joy, and they're praying, God, fill me with joy, then next thing you know, a cup full of joy is going to run into another cup full of joy, and poof, what's going to happen? Only joy is going to spill. That's how we get along. You see, the problem is we look for so many other answers for that, don't we? We have conflict, we have conflict management, we have all those different things. How can we solve this? How can we solve that? No, the only way that we can do this is by saying, God, fill me with the same joy that Jesus had so that I'm not living for myself and I am completely surrendered. And this isn't a surprise, as we know, because the thesis statement for Christianity is what? Luke 9:23, this is what a Christian does. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, if you want to follow me, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me. See, this was the solution they had in the New Testament church in Acts, because the New Testament church in Acts was amazing, because what happened was they all came together. They all came together. Let's just say it was a meeting. We don't know for sure if it was an official meeting or what happened, but they all came together like a meeting, and I don't know if there was a motion, there was a second, and they approved it. I don't know if they had Robert's rules they were following at the time or what was happening, but they all came together, and they said, you know what? You know what? Guys, this isn't about us. This isn't about me. So I'm giving everything I have, everything. I own nothing. And then the person beside goes, you know what? I feel the same way. I'm giving everything I have. And the next thing you know, it went around the room till everybody, and then everybody was saying, none of this is ours. We're just going to distribute it evenly as everyone has need. Why? Because we are one, and this isn't about us. It's the same Jesus. See, because that's what they did. They gave up themselves in order for the church to be what God desired it to be. Because there is no Christianity without surrender. There is no joy without surrender. That's all we are. That's all we are called to do. Jesus, fill us with that joy so that this can abound. So I end up praying and I talk to God at times and I say, God, wow. And today, God, there was a lot of Chad that spilled out, wasn't there? Especially that one situation. I didn't mean to, but man, I was tipped over and Chad just came right out. Instead of me being filled with what you were filled with, because if anybody ever tipped Jesus over, what came out, it was always the same. There was never, not about me, it's about you. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. God, fill me with that joy so that I can be what you want me. So I want to ask you today, when we talk about the idea of joy and we talk about the idea of God filling you with joy and so that he can abound, you can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, the whole idea of being full and it's overflowing and spilling and that's what comes out because that's what's in, that in order for that to happen, as we said, the cup has to be empty. So you have to be empty. You have to surrender. And so I just wonder if through this Christmas season, if maybe, just maybe, Jesus might be convicting us, each one. Jesus might be convicting each one of us, and he might be saying, you know what? You need to sacrifice. Fill in the blank. Jesus just might be pointing to something in your life and saying, you know what? That's not mine. I need to give that up. Whatever it might be. It might be a habit. It might be an addiction. It might be something that is just completely just neutral. It's not even sinful. But for you, it's just becoming too much of a pride thing and you're too much involved in it. And God just says, I need that. But God, I don't want to give that up. Well, okay, that's fine. But if you want to follow me, you're going to have to because it's really the only way. Because Christianity is all about sacrifice. It's all about giving up. And one of the things I think we forget about come Christmas time, that's why we have the Christmas theme and the Advent through the Christmas season, I believe, historically, is to remind us what this whole time's about. Because almost all the time, folks, I mean, not everybody. We understand that, you know, some don't do this. I get that. But for the most part, this season is about who? And we're taught that from how young of an age, aren't we? Santa's watching. Can't wait for Christmas morning because I'm going to get what I. Now, I have always been very good about not trying to see what I was going to get for Christmas beforehand. The front row, I knew they were going to give that away. Even when my wife has us go in a certain order, I always follow the order. I never try to grab a gift that I see has my name on it, even though I'm not supposed to open it yet and start opening. I always follow the proper procedure. But why is that? Because this season, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's we have created a season that is all about. That's why we always teach kids, a lot of times we try our best to teach kids, you know, but what are you going to give, not just get? You know, what are you excited for Christmas? Oh, I'm excited for this. I want to get this. I want to get that. I want to get this. Okay. What do you want to give? I didn't thought about that yet. I suppose there's that one toy I haven't played with for 10 years. I can give that to somebody if you want me to. But it's all about, and you look at the whole scene of Christmas. Jesus is there in the manger. And what's happening? Everybody in that scene is sacrificing. There is not one person in the nativity scene that isn't sacrificing. Every single one. The shepherds, what did they sacrifice? They left their job, man. They walked right off the job. They're not even looking after the sheep. They just left to go see Jesus. The wise men, what did they do? They bring the best gifts they could possibly give because this is the king. And then you have Joseph. I want to talk about sacrifice. Oh, yeah, we're going to get married in a couple years, and I already have our house picked out. And, in fact, I'm going to build the house, and we're going to have a white picket fence, a couple dogs, and then we'll talk about having a family. Then we might have a couple kids, and then I go to sleep one night, and all of a sudden an angel talks to me in a dream going, no, you're doing this. Talk about sacrifice. My whole life's plan now is gone. It's gone. Poof. And then you have Mary. Sacrifice. And then there's the one that sometimes I think we forget about. And that's the baby Jesus. Well, but he's not on the cross yet. His sacrifice came later. He left his throne. Ultimate sacrifice. Can you imagine? We can't even fathom what the sacrifice was for Jesus to leave his throne and come to this earth. What he gave up so that he could come amongst us and live amongst sinners so that he could show everybody how this is all done and be the example. Everything that he did, the sacrifice, we can't even imagine. See, there is not, Christmas is all about sacrifice. So what are you going to sacrifice this season? What is it that Jesus has his finger on that just says, you know what? That doesn't belong to me. You need to give it up. There's nothing wrong with it. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. Would you stop talking about that? Don't even talk about whether it's right or wrong. Well, but so-and-so, doesn't matter what so-and-so does. Who cares? Doesn't matter. What is Jesus pointing out right now that he's saying that, for whatever reason, you, it is not mine, and you need to give that up. Because once he does that, and I would put it this way to you also, one of the ways that God has worked, at least in my life, and I would imagine it's the same with you, maybe it's not, but I know that in my life, is that I have an idea, I have a plan, similar to Joseph, you know, the whole idea, this is my plan for my life and all that, but I have a plan when it comes to praying. You know, like I'll do my prayers, I'll read devotions, I'll kneel sometimes and I'll pray and I'll call out to God. And I have in my mind, it's not like I rehearse it necessarily, but I have in my mind what I'm going to talk to God about. You know, well, I told so-and-so I'm going to pray for him, and then there's this, and then there's world peace, and then there's the war, and then there's the church, and then there's my family, and then somebody's in the hospital, and I have all in my mind. And after I get through like the first few things, it's almost like Jesus is always going, What about this? Oh, Jesus, I'm not here to pray about that. See, I already have in my mind what I'm going to pray for, okay? Okay, Jesus, could you just let me, no, Jesus, and then I just go on. And then it just gets to this point where every single time I start to pray, it's like, boom. This has happened to me. I don't know how often it has happened in my life, and it continues to happen. I always thought it would stop, but it didn't. Years ago, there were major things in my life when I was deciding whether I was going to answer his call to ministry and all those things. Major things. He would just, bam, it was there. Every single time I'd pray, give it up. I don't want to give it up. Give it up. You can't follow me and have that. So-and-so does. I don't care what so-and-so is doing. If you want to follow me, give that up. That's standing in the way of me and you. And you can't have that. So what would Jesus ask you to sacrifice this Christmas season? Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are and for all that you mean to us. And God, we do have a desire. We want to know you. We want to follow you. We want to spend eternity with you. But sometimes we may need to be reminded of what that entails. And sometimes we need to be reminded that it's not about us or what we want or what we desire. That the only way we can truly follow you the way you want us to, we have to give it all up. We have to be empty. We have to be what you desire us to be. This is not about us, but it's all about you and what you desire to do in us. Show each of us what this means. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?